Well, we're going to go on with Gospel Misunderstandings, part number 16. And we're going to go through the events that happened in Thessalonica as I see them. We'll look at the first one, second one, go through as they happened in consecutive order to try and get a little broader, more focused view of what happened there. In Acts 18, when Paul wrote the epistle of 1 Thessalonians, his first epistle to the Thessalonians, including chapter 1, verse 5, about our gospel, meaning the gospel of Christ, it was at the beginning of the book, but he is looking back through, knowing this whole process that the Thessalonians had gone through. And so they didn't get to hear the gospel of God. We'll see that in the sequence here. They did hear the gospel of God, but they didn't get to hear the gospel of Christ until Timothy went back. But after Timothy went back and came back to Paul, that's when Paul first wrote 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 about our gospel. He already knew that they had received it then. So, firstly, and we'll cover 13 of these events, and then that's the whole lesson. So it may take 10 minutes or it may take 30, I don't know. First thing, though, Paul visited that city's synagogue to find the Jews and the Scriptures. Look at Acts 17:1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And then verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, he went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So that's the first thing. He visited the synagogue in the city where he was going, and found the Jews and the Scriptures. Secondly, Paul, it says, reasoned with them the gospel of God out of their... We say it's the gospel of God because of the next verse. He used the Scriptures, their Scriptures that they stored in their synagogues, to show them the gospel of God, which was not the mystery. That's not the mystery yet. That's facts that were recorded, prophesied about... Well, let's look at what the verse says. Opening and alleging. So he opened the Bible, the scrolls, the Scriptures, and he alleged that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. There's the resurrection. Were they going to believe it or not? Well, that's the fact. It's the truth that he was presenting to them. Israel, apostate Israel, had rejected that fact. But he was going around giving individual... This was after the fall of Israel and before their casting away. It was during their diminishing between those two events. And he was going around giving individuals that had heard before about Jesus, maybe others too, but at least those, giving them an opportunity to believe the gospel the gospel that they had passed up before, the gospel of God. So in 1 Thessalonians, I didn't finish the verse. Let me get back. This is Acts 17:3. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. In other words, he's the long-awaited Messiah. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 2:9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. So there he's very specific and declarative. He names the gospel, the title of the gospel that he used when he was physically there. Okay, thirdly, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, which we just read in the other lesson, about when the Thessalonians heard the gospel of God, and that they received it. They received it as the word of God. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. There's a promise. There's a statement of what the word of God does. I mean, that's its job. It works in you if you believe it. That's three. Okay, fourthly, in Acts 17, verse 4, the many that believed the gospel of God facts about the identity of Jesus, they consorted with Paul in his meetings. And those meetings were not related to the synagogue. They probably met in Jason's house, from what we read later in the same chapter there, a few verses later. Acts 17:4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. That's a lot of people, and they were Greeks. They were not Jews. They were following Israel's way to God, though, Israel's doctrine. They were Greeks, devout Greeks, seekers of wisdom and knowledge that God gave them in the Scriptures. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So remember that those Greeks, those devout Greeks in Acts 17, verse 4, are the Gentiles to whom Paul referred in 1 Thessalonians 2:16, forbidding that we go into preach unto the Gentiles. The Gentiles are those Greeks, the ones present in the synagogue that Paul was trying to preach to, and that some of them believed, and he wanted to preach more to, some believe it. Let's see, the devout Greeks would have been those very Gentiles. He's not opening the door to all Gentiles at that point as being his target audience. Anybody could believe. Pardon me. Anybody could believe the gospel. But what we're talking about is, who was Paul sent to at the time? Who did he write to if he was sent to them? He wrote to the ones that he was sent to, and he was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek until the end of a dispensation of the gospel, when Paul was sent to all people. So that's the fourth step there. They consorted with Paul, met together with him, and they would have continued to if Paul had been able to stay in town. And then in those meetings, generally, in other cities, he would preach to those Gospel of God believers the Gospel of Christ, how to be saved, and that they need to be saved. So, fifthly, Acts 17:5-9, and in 1 Thessalonians 2:14, and 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 and 4. The Thessalonians suffered like things of their countrymen. Now, some people get confused on this when they read this one assessment of the situation there, the one verse. But that's why I mentioned those other verses, because it's several places through these contexts in these two parallel sections, Acts 17 and 1 Thessalonians 2 and 3, there are several places it mentions the trouble they went through because of believing the gospel. So let's look at verse 5. This will be Acts 17, verse 5, and we'll go on down through verse 9. But the Jews which believed not, so this is the fifth event or action, the thing that went on there in Thessalonica. After Paul had preached the gospel of God about who Jesus is, and some had believed and some didn't, the ones that didn't, here it says, the Jews that believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. That's why I said that that's probably where Paul's meeting was, that was separate from the synagogue, with those believers that believed the gospel of God and hadn't yet heard the gospel of Christ. So going on to verse 6, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. And we made note before that the gospel had made a wide reputation. People knew about the gospel and those that believed the gospel by then. Acts 17:7, whom it says that, okay, in 16 it said, they have come here also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, there is another king, one Jesus. Verse 8, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. Verse 9, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. So that's the Acts account. Now down to 1 Thessalonians 2:14. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So he gives the reason why he says that you're followers of the churches of God in Judea. Not, it has not, as you listen, it has nothing to do with their doctrine or believing the way that the Jews believed, but it's from what they suffered. It says, for you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So it's two parallel situations. That's why he's saying that they followed what happened to the Jews there. So let's go down to chapter 3, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 and 4, and then we'll get to the next event here. But still in the fifth event, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know, so just briefly, that that's not the Great Tribulation or Jacob's trouble or anything. This is just the trouble that those people around gave those particular believers in Thessalonica, that it was tribulation. And Paul calls it, when he went to Thessalonica, he preached the gospel of God with much contention. They contended against him. Against the word, actually, the word of God. So, for verily, when we were with you, we told you that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. So that's not the Great Tribulation, or anything to do with that series of events coming up with the darkening of the sun and the moon turning to blood and all those things. Sixthly, in Acts 17, verse 10, we'll see here. Well, in fact, let's read 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So, excuse me a minute here. They sent them away again covertly. Secretly, by night, it says. And when they got to from Thessalonica down to Berea, over to Berea, I should say, they went right into the synagogue of the Jews again. They didn't give up. They didn't quit. They didn't get buffered down. Okay, so seventhly, this is the seventh event going on now. In 1 Thessalonians 2:18, twice Paul tried to return to Thessalonica himself, going back to straighten things out and give them the gospel of Christ, how to be saved. But it says, well, let's read what it says here. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. So Satan was actively trying to keep the word from spreading, keeping Paul from going through these series of events. Eighthly now, the eighth event, Acts 17, verse 13, the Thessalonian Jews came from Thessalonica and stirred up the Bereans. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And they're really obsessed. I'm thankful that Paul got through this. So let's look at the ninth event here, the ninth item. When Paul got to Athens, he waited there in distress. It distressed him not to know what was the outcome, whether those Thessalonian believers in the gospel of God would receive the gospel of Christ, Christ's full payment to covering their debt, their sin debt, the debt being the wages of sin, which is death. Christ died for their sins, but would they receive that to themselves? Verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 3, 1, and we'll read 1 and 2 and then jump down to 7 for the answer. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, and to comfort you concerning your faith. So he knew that they were, I don't know if you remember just before you got saved, how uncomfortable you probably were, and then the peace of God came on you the moment you did trust. But he says, to establish you concerning your faith. Down in verse 7 then, after he sent Timothy, therefore, brother, well, Timothy came back and reported to Paul, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress. How? What comforted Paul? By your faith. So he finally heard that they did finally get to hear the gospel and believed it. That's the ninth item. Okay, tenth. The tenth thing, Acts 17, verse 15. They that conducted Paul. Let me just preview that. Because there's I think we went through that the other night, the similarity between this and when Paul left some place, and he was sailing over to Syria to go to Jerusalem. And it says he sailed to Syria. Okay, good. Well, he's in Syria, right? No, it says he stopped at Ephesus, and then he stopped. So he's giving, like, I'm going to take the flight, from Chicago to Midway or whatever. And then it tells what I'm doing. I get on the plane and do this and do that. And then I finally end up at Midway. Well, that's what goes on here. And so he says, those that did, that were assigned to conduct Paul, they received a commandment for Silas and Timotheus to come to Paul with all speed. Paul was brought to Athens. Could Timothy and Paul have been on the same route? I mean, they both were leaving Berea. They both were going to Athens. No. No, they couldn't. They weren't side by side, though. Timothy first went to Thessalonica before he went on down to Athens. It says in verse, well, we'll get to verse 16 about what Paul did. But let's read 15 and 16. And they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens. Again, he's not yet there, but that's the route, that's where he's going to end up. And receiving commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for them for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Where'd they go? Well, they went where they were assigned to. You know, it says he sent them to Thessalonica. I think it's verse 2 or verse 5, one of those. It says they sent him to, Paul sent him to Thessalonica as the minister. That's verse 2, the fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish them. So they weren't traveling side by side. Paul went, and I didn't finish 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, he got there first, in other words. They had to go somewhere else on the way. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Well, that goes into the next section in Acts 17. Actually, the next verse is how we know that when Paul preached the gospel of God in synagogues, and some of them believed the gospel of God and consorted with him or departed, separate, Paul separated them, he says, someplace. We know that they met in Paul's meetings. It says those that met with him. So that's in verse 17, Acts 17, 17. Okay, we're down to the 11th. So we've got the 11th, 12th, and 13th to go. And it seems like the situation's over with. But let's see what these events are. 1 Thessalonians 3, 6. Timothy came to Paul with the news of the Thessalonians' faith. It says, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. So there's this reporting back to Paul after he had sent Timothy to do this, to expose the Thessalonians to the gospel of salvation. So we go to the 12th item. Paul was finally comforted, relieved of his distress. How? By hearing that the Thessalonians had faith in the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ. So let's go through those. It'd be 6, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, 7, and 9. But now, when Timotheus came from you to us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, because he came to them, in other words, and told them, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy, finding out about their faith, wherewith we joy for your sakes before God. That's 12. And the 13th, this will be the last, and we'll be ready for any questions after that, or we'll try to be. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 8, and then 10 through 13. And in these verses, we find that Paul was eager to continue his teaching, his edifying, influencing. You know, today you might say mentoring, I don't know. But doing that for those Thessalonian believers, for them to grow to complete understanding and reliance on the things that God does in the believer. God is not inert. So let's look at these verses. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Verse 10, 1 Thessalonians 3:10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And we covered this in the last lesson. He's not talking about you didn't have enough faith to be saved. No, you either trust or you don't to be saved. But he's talking about their growth in applying their faith to their daily living. What Paul went through in detail in Romans 6, 7, and 8. Going to verse 11 here now. 1 Thessalonians 3:11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase. So this is what he's talking about. Perfect you that which is lacking in your faith. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts, make you stable, in other words, unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And that's at the end of the tribulation, 7 years after we will have been caught up to be with the Lord. All right, any questions? I'm done with the lesson, a brief one, I guess, tonight. Any questions or comments before we close?